Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Well, hey, hi, happy Friday. Welcome back. Good game, nice try. I don't know why I said that so questionable. Happy Friday? Is it a happy Friday?
This is a good Friday. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm happy with the way things are going. I think one thing I was really excited to see right before New Year's, there were a bunch of game of the year lists, best game, and my game, Retired Men's Nude Beach Volleyball League, made Electronic Gaming Monthly's best of the year list, which
That's
was
huge.
Really cool. Yeah, it was
That's
awesome.
So awesome.
Congrats.
Thanks. Now, the guy didn't play it.
Oh.
He just won for best title.
A win is a win.
A win is a win, and I'll take it. But the other
thing, it is a great title.
It is a great title. But it did get a bunch of great reviews because, again, it's about a guy who regrets living his life the way he did, and he feels like he should have, you know, relived a lot of these relationships he had in the guise of playing naked men volleyball. But that was really great. So I decided to work on another game. So I'm working on another game, and that's going to kind of be my focus for 2022. My gaming focus. My other gaming focus is to go back and play more old games. So I dug out my DS, my Nintendo 3DS. I'm going to play some more old games. What are you, Sonia, for you? Your 2022 gaming calendar or gaming, what are you thinking of?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's so many good games that are coming out. And I think my two big focuses right now is I would love to do more driving games. I have like the whole wheel set up.
Yeah, and you got the pedals.
Right. And the only thing I've actually played with this whole wheel setup is Bus Simulator.
Now, wait a second. I'm not gonna stand for you saying that like that. Bus Simulator
okay,
is great.
I'll say it again. The only game that I've had the pleasure of playing with
That's
this
better.
Wheel is Bus Simulator. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, but I feel like I really need to expand my horizons. And there's a whole like F1 simulator.
Yeah.
I would love to play that. So more driving games is a really big focus of mine, but I would say number one by far, Jen, I need to make it topside in Hades.
You still haven't?
The way you said that.
That was so much judgment.
Okay,
no,
listen.
Oh, not yet.
You are just like, in my eyes, you are like capital G gamer, so good, and I'm not. So if I can beat you at this, it will be very exciting for me. So, yeah.
Sounds like you already have.
So far, you have. How many? Okay, so let's break it down. How many attempts did it take you to actually make it topside?
41.
Okay. I need to check what I'm at right now, but I am definitely nearing 41. Uh-huh. And I know you've made a little bet with me.
Yeah, you texted me that you were trying to beat it. And I said, if you beat it before me in less than 41 attempts, In-N-Out Burger on me.
Which is huge.
That's like all we talk about is our love of In-N-Out. So
we've got the socks.
Yeah, we have like the clothing line.
The stickers.
So we have stickers. Mm-hmm. We've got it all. So I feel like if you beat it in under 41 attempts, we feast.
We feast. The stakes were already pretty high, but now they are like fully elevated. This is some very high stakes.
And if you don't beat it in—
Then what?
Well, then
She buys me In-N-Out.
Yeah, if I play in, wait a minute.
Oh, hold on.
This is backfiring. No, but I just have the pride of beating you at a game.
I mean, to be fair, I'm kind of far off. Like, I just made it to, I think, I'm pretty sure it's the world before the world. The world before you get to topside.
Interesting.
And I feel like I'm pretty far, so.
What are you, bow and arrow? What are we doing? What weapon?
Oh, absolutely.
Bow and arrow.
Absolutely. I don't even, I mean,
for sure.
I feel like I should expand my horizons, but I have not even tried a different weapon.
No, it's the most effective one.
And that's what you used, right, Jen? The bow and arrow?
Yes.
Okay.
With the Athena boon, that is like prime.
Ooh.
What does the Athena boon do?
It's like the deflection ones.
Dude, deflection is where it's at.
It bounces all around? Is that what you mean? That your arrows do?
It like will deflect certain things or your dash will deflect. Yeah, there's now, the possibilities are endless.
Blade, did you beat Hades? Because I know you were pretty hardcore in it for a minute.
I never made it topside.
How many attempts?
That's a great question. I would say not that many. I did pretty well at Hades, I have to say. I think...
Well, dive back in and get in on this bet.
I did. Well, I just don't want to embarrass you two ladies. I would say probably, honestly, man, like a dozen. Like I got there pretty quick. I just kind of stopped playing. I don't remember why. Okay. I think something else took over. But
well, you didn't get there.
Touche. You're right. You know, maybe I'll get back into it. You know, if we could say, if we could agree on a number, you guys think I probably played. I reached. Now, wait, how far have you gotten, Sonia?
Oh my gosh, how do I explain? Past the Hydra.
Okay.
Past the bull. And I think I'm on like
You're
the world
close.
After. I know, I am so close. Watching Jen's face as I explained where I'm at.
I got to, so twice I reached basically right before your topside.
Well, you should get in on our bet. Mm-hmm. Try to get topside.
I will. You know what? I'll do it tonight. Not get topside.
Oh, you'll just casually go topside tonight?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. Well, then.
Well, maybe. Guys, I'm
all
pretty
right,
good.
Bet.
But you know, but we need to, okay, but if I'm going to be on the bet, I don't know how many times I went through it. Or are we at zero?
Just go I've look. Kind of, you can go
you can
check.
Oh, really? Oh, there we go. I'll check.
Yeah.
Watch, it's going to be like 500 times.
Either way, someone's getting in and out.
It could just be Jen by herself while we watch her.
That's it.
Just another Tuesday night for me.
Oh, you mean Tuesdays.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, my God.
Well, I don't want to waste any more time. Our guest today is incredible. He is a gamer, streamer, and esports commentator, and he has been in it for a minute. He has been in the esports world for a long time. And currently, he's a commentator for the Call of Duty League. So he is streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/Maven. Make sure to check him out. But first, here's our interview with Maven.
Hello?
What's going on?
What is going on? I'm currently out of season for my regular job on the Call of Duty League. So I play a lot of video games.
Ooh.
So when you're off season, when you're not broadcast or when you're not commentating and doing everything, do you actually have time to play games outside of, you know, Call of Duty and everything, or are you still like really wrapped up?
Well, I find time to play games even during the league because I'm a massive nerd. I mean, I love Call of Duty. I commentate Call of Duty, but in my heart, I would love to be like a co-Carnage because I prefer RPGs. I love RPGs. I try to play them during the season. But yes, when the season is out, that is usually when I'm on like my Path of Exile or an MMO or some grind.
Yes.
That I'm playing 12 hours a day and not doing much else. and I love it. Yeah.
It is this thing where I think, you know, growing up as a nerd, you know, I felt very isolated and always like weird. I always felt like the weird kid. And so that made me really concentrate. It's like, have you ever heard of the phrase woodshedding?
I don't think I have, actually.
Okay, so the phrase is kind of like, so it's like this thing where like Eddie Van Halen, right? All of a sudden he just comes out of nowhere with crazy guitar skills. And it's because he was like a nerd as a kid. And so he would just go back in the woodshed.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah,
practice,
yeah.
Practice, and then all of a sudden it explodes onto the scene. And so I think that happened with a lot of us nerd kids. We just love doing all this stuff. And then all of a sudden we have all these great, amazing skills and have these fantastic, we get to live these very lucky lives. But it also, there's a lot of work there too that, you know, you put in a lot of work to get here.
Well, you're spot on. I mean, I remember, I mean, I'm not getting the whole story of how I got to where I am, but you know, I was a big gamer and you know, my parents always gave me shit and just, you know, I was never going to turn into anything, blah, 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 blah. And then it, exploded and showed them my paychecks. And they were like, okay, yeah, we were wrong. I'm like, yeah. but yeah, there was definitely an evolution because in high school, I remember it definitely was, you know, there's a group of us that love the game and it was sort of not something we talked about a lot because it just wasn't cool, right? And now, I mean, I hear about someone like Attach or like a COD pro that like wins champs and he's got people, you know, coming in cheering for him in high school. There's a parade for him. I'm like, what? Yeah. if I won like a Halo tournament back in the day or something, no one would give a shit. Like, it just was not the same thing. So yes, 100%. It's amazing to, I guess, something you love that at one time you thought might only be a passion turn into a career. It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And especially, you know, for someone like you who's been around since like early MLG days, you've been around.
My first was 2004.
Oh my gosh.
I think that's how I got into all this. My first MLG event was Seattle 2004.
Wow.
And I met like Puckett and Sundance and Sepso and all those guys. Was big into Halo. And then I went to college. I was kind of out of it. You know, I had a regular job at a school. And then this thing started to kind of pop off. And those relationships led to this, which is nuts because I was just an 18-year-old kid going to these tournaments, hoping to meet my heroes and these other gaming nerds and have some fun. And yes, yeah, so I've been around a while, though. I'm old as dirt, yeah.
But that, you know, that's the cool thing, though, is that, you know, like you're saying, it's the legitimacy of it and the recognition of it just in the last like handful of years has just blown up. Like the whole esports scene is just, I mean, I don't need to tell you, but it's
just gaming
up.
In general. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's a great future in esports, 100%, like more so in just the personal content creators and streaming and everything like that. That has gone nuts. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, I think when I first started, you know, there were subs and stuff. There were probably, well, you were streaming earlier. There were probably, what, maybe 50 people that could make a living off of it.
Yeah, it was
somewhere in that
small
ballpark. Now, due to what gifted subs and how much stuff has exploded, it's in the thousand and more. It's so many people that they just stream. That is their income. It's pretty cool, though. Like, you feel a good sense of, I guess, just safety long term because I don't know. Do any of you see gaming getting smaller? I sure as hell don't. My dad's not playing games. I definitely will be when I'm 60. My kids will be playing games. Like, it's only going to get bigger. So it's a good place to be.
Yeah, I think one wild thing, I think that, you know, obviously during the pandemic, gaming has exploded. But it's also this thing where what I'm really liking is when I look at kind of gaming as a whole, like the fracturing of games. Like, it was kind of like, do you play games or do you not play games? And now it feels like everyone plays games, but what kind of game do you play? And that's really cool. And I think it's like people's love is going really deep. Instead of just like, oh yeah, I'm a video game player. It's like, no, okay. I love Call of Duty. I love FPS. I love, you know, or yeah. Ooh, I love indies. I love RPG, you know, all this other stuff. And that's, I think that's what really excites me is, and now, one thing again, Sonny and I talk about a lot on here is how, games are kind of being, they're above games. It's like an art form now. And same thing with esports. It's a sport. It is those are sports and competitions, and it's not just video games. It's different aspects.
It's crazy. Well, a couple of things. Like, one, I think like everyone games in some way. Like, even if Candy Crush or something on your phone. Like, my mom plays that, so I guess technically she's a gamer. Even if she wouldn't say that, but like mobile has elevated that whole thing tremendously. But to the whole sport thing, I was thinking about the other day. And I know it's not one to one, but yeah, you think about the percentage of players in sports that go from like how it chops down from being a high school athlete to a college athlete, to an NFL athlete, right? Like, it's just the numbers diminish and diminish and diminish, and it's very small. But when you think about the number of Call of Duty professionals to how many people play Call of Duty, it is elite. Like, it is crazy, like, how good you have to be. And I'm not just talking COD, but, like, games in general. And you don't have the barrier of, I can't be in the NBA, I'm not 7'5". There are barriers there. There aren't really, right, with this. Well, I'm sure there are God-given talents and everything, but considering there's no real barrier, it's a sport. It's wild. Insane how good these people are.
It's like on the level of soccer or football to the rest of the world. But that, you know, how many people play that game and then how few people get to be at the top. It literally is. It might even be bigger. I mean,
no, I think it might be bigger. Yeah, well, it's not one-to-one because it's kind of a different combo. But like, if you're just purely talking on the number of people playing it, the number of people that are a pro, it's probably crazy. Bigger, which is, yeah, it's nuts when you think about it like that.
Yeah. No, absolutely wild. I think it really drove it home for me. I can't remember what year it was or what event, but when I first saw some kind of esports coverage on ESPN, that like really elevated it for me. I was like, holy shit, this is like, this is mainstream now. Like, this is some big, big stuff. What for you was like kind of the turning point? You're like, oh my God, this is a career. I can talk about video games.
I know what it was for me. And it's weird and different. It's not even anything that's happened here yet, because I think we're still quite a ways behind the East. But when I saw StarCraft tournaments in South Korea, ooh, and I saw a professional coming in on an airplane into a hangar, and like the size of the crowd, I was just like, holy shit. Like, what is this? And we haven't even gotten there yet, because like some esports, you're talking South Korea, it's like our NFL. It's so big. I think we have a ways to go to get to that, but we're getting there and it's growing. But I think that's what it was for me, honestly. Even though it's not here, like when I saw it, it was like just how ingrained in their culture it was and how big it was. I was like, okay, let's do that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And what about like you professionally too? Like even just growing up being in the esports scene, being in like old MLG days, you know, casting tournaments that were, you know, from 2004 and just kind of seeing that evolution at what point were you like, oh my God, this is my job?
Probably when I switched over to Call of Duty. So I started with Halo, and you know, my first MLG event I went to in 2004 had like, 30, 40 teams. There weren't like fans and a crowd. There wasn't a big stage with displaying the matches. It was just like setups and people walking around.
Kind of like an open mic night.
Yeah. More like that. And I did some Halo stuff, and it was still pretty small and amateur. And then once I got involved in the MLG scene, and you know, I think like a MLG Anaheim is probably where it clicked for me. Is that was one of their bigger events back in the day. Just the energy there and the number of people. I'm trying to remember. It was StarCraft that did it for me back when MLG had the Pro Circuit, and they had like Halo, Call of Duty. I think it was like League of Legends and StarCraft back when it was like this big circus. Thinking back, I don't know how the hell they pulled that off in one insane. Like one hall. It's crazy to think about. Like that's not even remotely a thing anymore. But it was some StarCraft thing. It was about like, you know, Idra and Hawk and North America's chances against, you know, the Emperor and all these big players coming from South Korea. It was this big thing, and I was just like, whew. I was like, this feels like the Olympics. Like I am in. It was just I, that's probably what it was for me. I can't remember exactly what year, but it was awesome. It was so awesome.
That's wild. I mean, you know, and what is, because for me, so I am not, I'm separated from the esports kind of community. I'm not really, I'm bad at Call of Duty. I mean, I'll play it,
but I bet you're great.
I'm bad at everything. But what are some recent trends you've seen in esports that kind of surprised you? And where do you think esports is headed, or where would you like to see it going in the next 5-10 years?
Some trends I didn't expect. I guess the thing I didn't see coming as much, trying to think how to word this. It was a lot of, maybe not grassroots, but it was a lot of third party companies running a lot of it. You know, MLG Pro Circuit and stuff. It was very third party.
Yeah.
And I guess I expected developers to get more involved and there would be more support.
Ah.
I didn't really expect the franchise leagues with as much publisher support as there is. And there are some goods and some bads to it. It's worked someplace, it hasn't others. But like, you know, like, right. They literally run leagues and stuff, their entire league. They do everything, right. The whole ecosystem. And it's a pain in the ass. And it costs a lot of money. And there's no way, if you looked at what they're putting into it, just on the esports side, like, you're probably making money. But like, what it does for the overall health of the game is good. But I guess I just didn't expect that. Like, just hundreds of millions of dollars being dumped into it, which kind of surprised me. But it could lead to some very incredible things down the road, I probably would say. When, what was the other question? Like, what do I hope happens?
Yeah, like, what like, where would you like to see esports go 5-10 years?
I think the biggest problem with esports for me right now is it's kind of that funnel we were talking about for sports, right? You have high school sports, you have college sports, you have whatever, the pro. Every funnel for every game is different. And some funnels are horrible and some are okay. I guess I just hope that I'm not saying I want like NCAA involvement. This has to go through colleges necessarily, but I don't know what the best way to do it is. I just hope there's a better path to pro that is more similar across esports. So if you are a young kid and you want to be a pro, it's not as convoluted as it currently is.
Right.
More codified. Like the system should be more codified in terms of less game by game. Yeah.
But I don't know how you do that without like someone like the NCAA or some over-sparking comp. I don't know how you do it. I have no clue.
But it does feel like it needs an organization like the NCAA or something. And by the way, maybe that will happen. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I think it feels like year by year, it grows and grows and grows. At least in America, it grows and grows and grows. And you just feel like at some point, yeah, you want it to all be in the same kind of circle, you know?
Yeah, like, I guess I just wish it all was more, every esports its own beast, and I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when you look at all the major sports, yes, they're all completely different entities, but there are, the funnels are the same for the most part.
Yes.
It is just the Wild Wild West when it comes to esports. And maybe that's not even a problem. I guess I just wish there was more structure.
But part of that too is like nobody owns basketball. I mean, that's the other whole thing is like those.
Yeah, well, that's why I was surprised by the involvement with publishers too, right? Like it is, it's a tricky thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. Well, touching on that path to pro, I mean, that's something that a question that I get fielded all the time is, you know, people see success on Twitch. People see people live streaming and doing stuff like that. And, you know, the amount of people I have come up to me at conventions or, you know, it's a kid with their parent and they're like, all they want to do is live stream and they want to make videos. Like, how do you get into it? And, you know, from when, you know, we started doing content creation and game casting and everything way back, the path is a hell of a lot different than it is now. So what do you say to people who are asking, like, how do I break into the esports scene? How do I go pro?
That's kind of why that popped in my head, because I usually say I've got no idea other than like if you have what it takes and you were very good, I usually, you know, tell them whether it's just been different over Call of Duty, for instance. You know, when MLG had it, you had like those 2K and 5K tournaments you would play in, or LANs you could show up and play through an open tournament, but it's like different for every game. It's like an impossible thing to answer is what is frustrating, I think, for me.
Especially because the game has just changed so much, too.
It has, but I guess I don't know, like, does it need to come through? I think it all needs to probably eventually be within the game itself. Like, there are ladders. There is a funnel through the game.
Yeah.
That's what I think it probably needs to become. And there's probably a million problems with that I'm not thinking about right now. But, yeah, you hit it on the head. I get asked all the time. I'm just like, same thing even for being a commentator. Be like, how do I become a commentator? if I tell you how I became a commentator, I still don't know. I stumbled forward and here I am. But I think a lot of it's just a very new industry, right? Even though it feels like it's been around a decade, in the scheme of things, it's a very short time. And I think that's why they've tried to adopt a lot of things from regular sports, even though I think many have been dumb as hell to try and do, is because they have a proven structure that has worked. But whether it's path to pro or path to being a commentator, path to doing anything, it seems so, how do I do that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the answer for a lot of it is just like, get your foot in the door and rely on skill and luck like the rest of life.
No, it's very
and
true.
And people. Yeah. I think it really, it doesn't matter.
Networking and people,
The answer is networking, but really what that means is just make friends with people. Just like, I love when people say networking. It's like, just be friendly. Like, say hi to everybody, go up to people. You just never know.
That's about all I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the worst person to be around. I had a lot of fun with people and turns out I don't suck at talking and here I am. I
am the worst and I still do it okay.
And he's still somehow here.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
One thing that's so weird to me is when people, I don't know, I just feel like attitude matters. And that's one weird thing I think, like live streaming, you know, has become so prevalent and you can immediately tell there's like some spark or something. When somebody has something, you're watching them versus somebody who doesn't. And I think part of that is like a love of it, you know, like, I don't know. Do you know what I'm trying to say though?
Yeah, I knew, you know, Courage, like Jack Dunlop.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met the guy, he was like an intern at MLG. And I was like, he's got it. He wasn't doing anything on camera, nothing. You know, I ended up living with him. Yeah, my best friend. I love the guy, but like, I just knew. And him and I were casting together. And I'm like, I love this and we are incredible together. I just knew it wasn't going to last long. I just knew it wasn't. And like, he wanted to take a shot at the streaming thing. He like felt bad. He's like, how do you feel about it? I was like, dude, take your shot. And now he is.
Oh, he's killing it.
He owns a Lamborghini. Yeah. he's doing very well. But yes, I think without question, you can. There's some special people. And yeah, that's a good example of I knew that guy was going places. He just, have the drive, sure. You have the motivation, you have the charisma. You just need that perfect. There's some magical mix that happens.
Yeah, no, there is something, like you were saying, you can tell when people just have it. Was that something that you felt like you always had? Because that's something I always wondered too. This isn't something that people, well, maybe now, but back then people definitely didn't just go to school for this. They didn't really go to school to be an esports commentator. How did you kind of gain those skills, like on camera skills and,
Just did it. I've always been a good speaker and charismatic guy. On camera was always very easy for me. Don't get nervous. I love it. I live for it. And then the rest, just sort of learning the little things, just kind of came with time. And I lucked out that, had I been as raw as I was right now and coming into it, maybe it wouldn't have worked out. But I lucked out that it was much smaller back then. I got away with some mistakes and dumb stuff that I did and, kind of molded into being better at it. But I think I luck out too that, there's like different sides to it. I am not good. I don't think I can do what Jack does. Like, I like to stream, but I don't think I could be that big because I like to stream, but I like the game more. So like, I want to play what I want to play and, maybe not necessarily what I should be playing. And the commentary thing though, I think I just love it so much and enjoy it that it's just easy. And I think that applies to anything with like work. If find something you have a passion for and like it, it's amazing what you can get by on, even if you're maybe lacking a certain skill. I think people can tell I enjoy myself and I'm having fun. And I think that is very important. For people watching, because if I'm having fun, they're probably gonna have a little more fun.
Yeah, I mean, that goes for commentating, that goes for streaming, that goes for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate saying this, but I always have to say it. Just talking about like on-camera skills, one thing I'll tell people is like, go to my YouTube channel and sort my videos from oldest to newest. And it is so embarrassing.
Like that right now.
Please don't. But my first, like the first videos I ever did and the first time I ever like put myself on camera, not even posting or presenting, but just putting myself on camera, was awful.
I deleted all my stuff because I don't drink anymore, but I used to love to drink and hang out with people. And like, I would drink and stream and I'd go back and watch stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how do I have a job? And like, why did I think it was a good idea to go out till 2 a.m., do what I did, be in the shape I was and stream? Why?
Well, that was the environment. That was the vibe.
It was fine. That was it. But like looking back at it, it's like, oh, I feel ill. Thinking about a lot of things I have, decisions I've made. I don't think I'm like a horrible person or by any means, but like things I said, I did, how I acted like back then, I'm like, what was I doing? And I think most people probably feel that way about life in general, but like, especially when it's recorded.
Yes,
and
you it's can out there.
See it. Yeah.
All of it.
Oh, yeah.
No, I feel you.
Say, I am so happy. I think whoever up above every day that they didn't have like camera phones when I was in college.
Oh my
God. was like a thing that sort of came around after, because I'd probably just be in prison somewhere forever. It's just, thank God. I don't know how kids do it nowadays with all the stuff that went on when I was in college. If everyone was walking around with a goddamn camera filming everything.
A permanent record of like,
yeah,
I know.
No!
I think we all have, I think there's always that one person who had like a disposable camera, and there's always like a couple physical photos of like someone throwing a burrito at a car or something. But like that, and that's it. That's all the record. I don't need, play-by-play live stream thing of my entire life. It's awful. I mean, you need time. Again, you need time to get that stuff out of your system and then evolve into whatever you're going to be. But again, happy I did those things.
Yeah.
For the most part. I wasn't super happy when my roommate and I dragged a disgusting rotted mattress up 4 flights of stairs and then put it in our other roommate's bed. That was gross in New York.
Yeah.
That was gross. I'm not proud of that. But also, and I don't know why I'm saying it on a podcast
that's
being
recorded.
I was going to
say, now it's audibly out there forever. Yeah.
And we made it into a game. Rotting mattress bed simulator, you know? So whatever, you know, pay it forward.
I love it. Love it.
Love it. Wait, love it.
This made me think of something. This is totally 100% off topic. But like how you're just talking about stuff, life being on camera, and like how it made me think of, like, I don't know why I made me think of this, but how big people have gotten, how like celebrity this has become. Like, you know, when I first, you know, started growing on Twitter and be on camera a lot, I think I rarely go out in public now because I just play video games. So when I would go out a lot, like every now and then someone would recognize me, say, like, hey, maybe what's up? I like hang out with Courage now. Cannot go anywhere without someone walking up for a photo. I'm not even trying to like gas it. Anywhere, a gas station, a restaurant, a store, anywhere, people are just running up. And like, it's awesome, but it's also, I don't think I would like that personally. It's just too much. But it's crazy how big it is now. It's not, it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely wild. The amount of, even just going to the mall, like the amount I've seen, like 100 Thieves merch. I've seen like Jacksepticeye's merch. I see like all these huge YouTubers and huge personality. I see their merch everywhere. I literally cannot imagine.
If I wear a 100 Thieves shirt, I almost, and I'm like out in a very public area, at least one person will be like, nice shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because they know what it is. And like, it's like, you know, cool with a little wink, like, and cool shit. I like esports too, type thing. I'm like, it's crazy. It really is.
Here's the thing is, like, I'm a very passionate person playing games, and I'm a big rage quitter, dude. Are you throwing controllers? I know you have 14 keyboards. Are you smashing your keyboards? Are you very, very chill? How do you handle disappointment in games?
Oh no, I have rage inside of me.
rage in my heart.
Yeah, I don't mean to stoke the fire here, but I heard you're a big gas canister fan.
Yeah, no, they've been, there are some things on Warzone right now that I've almost,
the 14 keyboards are coming in handy.
I've been losing my mind, but I haven't destroyed. I don't destroy devices. I just yell a lot, and that's sort of become like while I'm streaming. Kind of, I'm just the one that rages, and people just know it's coming. But I don't get that way playing anything like single player or anything, but like multiplayer stuff, like Call of Duty is like the only multiplayer thing I'm playing right now. But yes, it makes me so angry. Like the thing that got me all last year is we have, I don't know why it happens, but every morning we would play. And I would host in from Dallas, and 200 ping Korean players got into our lobbies, some cheating, some not, but like gods. 5KD, they go ghost first, and you trying to shoot them is like impossible. The bullet reg's all weird. Their bullets hit you like after you think they would, so you can't back down. And I just scream all morning about it. It pisses me off. Why are they in my lobby? And they're just all gods. It's insane. And it pisses me off so much. And I got on today. I played for a little bit. My first game, my game crashes. Second game, a Korean player in a window just destroys me. The next game, I call in an airstrike. I go into a building and kills me through the building. I was done. That was it. I was done for the day. Cool. Switched over to New World. I was done. Yeah, that's like, how my morning
that's
went.
That's it. That's all I needed. Yep. All right.
So rage quitting, what would help the rage quitting, I will be honest, back when I did it a lot more back in Blackout, when it was a BR, but you couldn't be like bought back. Once you were dead, you were dead. Like you died, you were dead. And there were days where off drop, you know, you die 2-3 times in a row and you're literally hanging out with your stream watching the others play for like an hour and a half. There were days where I was like, nope, I started at 8, I'm off by 10. But at least now, like with like the buyback options and stuff, you're like kind of always in it. So that helps. But ooh, back in the Blackout days, yes, there were.
Sit
ooh,
there.
I'm like, no.
Soak in your mistakes.
I'm done. Can't do it.
You know what? I like the attitude you take towards it, though. At least you recognize that, you know what? They're real good. They're gods. I just assume everyone's hacking. Anyone who's better than me is hacking instantly.
You don't mean what you just said, because I am called the detective for a reason. I'm a psychopath. I have a COD tracker set up at all times in which I do investigations. And anytime I die to someone in a remotely suspect way, I look up the account, and via the account and trending data and headshot percentages, I will find out if they are cheating. I send every one of those accounts into someone and they get them banned.
Oh my God.
I'm called the detective. The number of accounts that I've gotten banned, I'm an anti-cheat service in myself.
I love that though.
Wait, so I've never even heard of this. Explain to me how this works. So the contractor, there's nobody who could be that good.
It's usually pretty obvious on a couple of things. It'll show, like, let's say this person has a 1 KD, and then over the last 7 days, 100 games played, they have a 7 KD. Or they have a 50% headshot or something that doesn't, it just, no, you do not. I play with literal professionals. If there is stuff that is insane, and some stuff like walling, if there's stuff that you can't really find, but detectives on it.
I will look.
Nobody is safe. You kill this old bald man and you're doing something fishy, your account's gone.
You're going down.
Inspector Maven.
Yeah. And just so we're clear, I'm not banning anyone. I'm sending it into people that are looking into it.
Yeah.
I don't have that power.
Sending it to the authorities.
Yes, correct. Correct.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Holy shit.
It is, but it also annoys the people I play with sometimes because I get a little too obsessed with it. I'm looking through past games. Even if we didn't run into a cheater, I'm finding cheaters that were in the game. I've got accounts banned. We didn't even know they were in the game. I just find them later and I send them in. Like I said, I'm a psychopath.
As soon as they see your name in the lobby, they're like, shit.
Yeah, yeah, just quit. Just leave the game.
Dude, you're like, you're literally like Call of Duty Batman.
Yeah. No,
you're
no,
out there. Let Commissioner Gordon take him to jail, take him into custody. You're just out there just punishing thieves.
If I got paid $5 for every account that I've sent in, I'd have a good amount of money. Let's just, I'd be doing well.
We do need to establish a bounty system, I think. That would be pretty great.
Honestly.
I haven't cracked open Halo Infinite yet, but Sonya's been busting out.
Oh, my God. I can't stop. Actually, can you settle something for me? Somebody who's coming from, like, pro esports scene. Okay. Keyboard versus mouse. Or mouse and keyboard versus controller.
Don't even get... okay. How do I do this without getting fired? I commentate over... professional controller players.
Okay.
I played on controller for a very long time.
Okay.
I play a mouse and keyboard now. I enjoy it a lot more. It's a lot more fun. I have for a couple of years. I like to just be in full control, and I just like it doesn't hurt my hands as much. My hands have bugged me with the hours I put in. Yeah, some things are a joke. I think that I could send you guys a thread that you can read about in the technical aspects of it. Some called rotational aim assist that basically will rotate in close range fights with a timing and accuracy that is faster than the human can do it. It's wild.
Wow.
So close range fights when you are on mouse and keyboard versus someone of equal skill that is on a controller, it is a nightmare. But here I am still playing controller mouse. I think it's more fun and it does have its advantage. You can play a little bit faster. You can be snappier. I won't get into like console versus PC. I'm just talking like input.
Yeah.
It's like oil and water. It's what's so weird about it. In a matchmaking system, I do think that it needs to exist for the health of a game. Because I do think, and sometimes it's hard for maybe the PC side to survive if it's just if there's no crossplay. Sure. I think the more people that can play together and the more open it is, the better. I think we all agree. If a game is free to play and available on goddamn everything, it's a huge win. But in a competitive setting, no. Yeah. Literally oil and water should not merge.
I know. I mean, like growing up with Halo, it was always controller for me. It was always controller, but I have heard a lot of heat around the aim assist. I think you're right. It just does feel a little bit slower. And I know with keyboard and mouse, it feels like you can be a little bit snappier and you can kind of get that speed, but I just suck. I want the aim assist.
This is the best way to put it. The highs on mouse and keyboard are higher. Mm-hmm. When you are on point and in form, you can be better. The floor is the problem. The floor on controller is far higher. Like you're low on mouse and keyboard. If you're out having an off day or a bad day, it's on you. You're going to miss shots. You're going to get smoked. With the controller, it's easier to just play okay or play well when you're not playing great. The floor is just so much higher, and that's what matters more. Because I think when it comes down to a competitive side of things, the number one thing is consistency. And I think controller allows you to be more consistent. And not to like knock controller, I play on it, I cast it. I love it. There's a place for everything, but that's the problem. People will see a clip of someone on mouse, be like, oh my God, you could never do that controller. Yeah, you're right. But also the fight where you could not miss bullets if you tried to is very hard on a mouse. So there's two sides to it.
And I've never heard it put like that, but that makes complete sense. Like where the floor is higher. It almost feels like in how we were talking about, to bring it back to the beginning. Ooh, I love a full circle. How kind of now that everyone is playing games, things are splitting off a bit. And even in esports, it almost sounds like controller, keyboard, mouse should be like, you know, racing, like Daytona versus F1. You're never going to race a Daytona car or like stock car versus an F1 car. Maybe they should just be kind of separate categories.
I think they should be, yes.
Yeah.
I think they should be separate. And if you're a publisher or developer, I mean, I don't see anyone running leagues for both. So I think it's just a...
Yeah.
Might be a thing where you just have to pick one. Or maybe there is a way where... there might be some magic where it can be tuned to a point that, like, what did Destiny add? And I think Halo might have, or they're thinking about it. It's called, it's not aim assist, but it's like bullet magnetism on mouse. So it's like, it's a little more forgiving, I think. Like, if you're not exactly on them, you could still kind of hit them, which is a weird thing to think about, but it actually kind of helps balance the two. Even though I don't love that, like, maybe they're, because in a perfect world, I would love mm-hmm. for everyone on whatever platform and input to be able to all compete against each other.
It's just making the playing field fair.
I don't know how you, I just don't know if it's possible. Yeah. And if someone figures it out, hell yes. But for now, no.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that if I stick with controller, I'm going to get out of silver.
It'd be better. I would recommend playing controller, especially for a game like Halo, because Halo is not a fast-paced, snappy game. It is a put your reticle on them and you want to be steady. Mm-hmm. If I was playing Halo, no shot I'd play on mouse and keyboard for me. No way. Maybe sniping. I don't even think sniping would be that much better because it's not like CS with an op where you need to just whip real hard. It is right. Like, I don't know. I think that's better on controller. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing, you know, full disclosure, I play right-hand controller, left-hand keyboard. So I kind of just, you know, it's like, it's tough, but, you know, because it's, but it works. You know, it's like.
Wait, I really?
No, no, God, no, no. How would you even do that?
It doesn't. Oh, no, I think some people, I think that's a thing.
What?
I think there are some people that, I don't
no
think it's very popular.
Fucking way. No
I don't think it's a very popular thing, but.
I want to see somebody go pro like that.
Wow.
Aaron, you could be the first.
Oh, you know what it's like when you see in baseball, how like there's just very few sidearm pitchers and they look insane because they got like, whoosh, that's like that. That's kind of like the sidearm pitching of games. Wow. My God. Well, there we go. Something to aspire to.
No. I there might be seven people that do it, but I do think I've like seen that on Reddit or something. It's a thing for someone.
You know what? Soon to be eight. So I'm going to switch from my guitar.
I wasn't sure if you were kidding. I thought you were probably kidding, but I actually was 100%. Maybe he does. I'm like, he's insane.
You never know.
But all right.
You really never know.
I'm going to switch from my current Guitar Hero controller, Call of Duty, to keyboard and other thing. Listen, maybe this has been an absolute joy, but we're out of time.
That went fast. That was fun.
I know.
You guys are all at bed. This is great. That was wonderful. You guys are incredible.
You're great. We love to end every interview with asking our guest their favorite game and their least favorite game. So not the best game and the worst game in the world, but to you, over your entire life, the game that you hate the most or was most disappointing and the game that brings you the most joy. Let's start low and we'll go high. So what's the game... maybe even as a kid.
I'm struggling on both fronts because on the good pick, I can't pick between the three in my head. And on the bad pick, I have no idea. I think more like disappointment than difficulty, I guess.
Sure.
And
sure.
It's a weird one probably, but I'm a big Final Fantasy guy. Final Fantasy 6, 7, 9 are my three favorite. 8 killed me. It's not like it's a bad game, but compared to the ones surrounding it in 7 and 9, it was a dumpster fire. And I remember playing it and just with my friends, because it's actually a lot of things. Back in the day, we'd all be in the basement playing like a Final Fantasy game together, which is just weird. But like, we'd take turns and like we'd play it. And we were all just like, there's this game stinks. and yeah.
General consensus. Like, yeah. That's
the one that sticks with me, weirdly, is Final Fantasy VIII. I just was expecting so much after Final Fantasy VII, one of the greatest games of all time. And VIII just like, nope, doesn't do it for me.
Just didn't hit right.
Yeah.
All right. So favorite game.
That is a very tough thing for me between Ocarina of Time and Final Fantasy VII. And VII's not even the best Final Fantasy. It's just, it was like my first that I played and it like got me into RPGs. So it's just, it has this place in my heart and always will. I'd probably say Ocarina of Time. That game was just something. Like that like N64 period where everything converted to like 3D and it just, you think of Super Mario 64 and like all these games like what's the equivalent now? I guess sort of how people have shifted some of those games into like open world, like Breath of the Wild, like, or Metal Gear Solid 5. Like there's like these big shift points. That was one. And Ocarina of Time, if you were a kid, that game was just everything. It was, that's probably mine.
That game blew my mind. Cause also that was the first game that had the night day cycle.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just, and different stuff happened at night. Cool. Oh man. Yeah. That game was, woo, baby. Yeah. Great picks. Great picks.
Solid.
Yeah. I play everything. Like it's weird. Cause a lot of Call of Duty people just play like Call of Duty. And I just find it insane because I just play everything.
Absolutely. You have to. Yeah. Maven, thank you so much. This is a true honor. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
I have to say, I felt a real like soul kinship with Maven. I think him and I are like the same person, just with different hairstyles.
Yeah, I could feel it.
Very passionate, you know, great, really good looking, great at video games, smells great.
Anyway, well, thank you again very much to Maven. He's fantastic. Check him out at twitch.tv/Maven. And we're going to take a real quick break, but we'll be right back.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
All right, we're back. So, you know, we did a thing which I loved, and I think all three of us did, called Game Book Club, where we, you guys asked us to play a game, and we played it along with you. That game was BioShock Infinite. And how fun was it, guys, that we played BioShock Infinite, and then we got to have Ken Levine, the creator of BioShock Infinite, on and talk to him.
So cool.
So cool.
Awesome.
What a treat that was. What a treat. So, you know, you do it once, it's a mistake. Do it twice, it's a tradition. So we're going to do Game Book Club again. And we asked you guys on our Twitter, at Good Game Nice Try, to suggest some games that then we all could vote on. And we got a lot of really good submissions.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We got so many submissions.
I thought there'd just be a concentration of a few different games. And there are so many games that a lot of them I haven't even heard of, which is exciting.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really across the board, like a bunch of different genres all over the place. So, my gosh, yeah, you guys showed up with suggestions.
Yeah. So I think we should go, let's talk through, because honestly, I'm going to be quite honest, guys. We have to play this game all the way through. So it should be something that we're going to kind of enjoy a little bit, because this is going to go on for like 5 weeks in a row. So, you know, we got here are just a couple of the games we got. We got Soma. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of Soma?
I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's like a horror game. A lot of Assassin's Creed.
A lot of Assassin's Creed.
Suggestions. So as just a couple there. Now, I'm going to say right off the bat, I don't mean, I it's hard to make a game. I don't necessarily want to put any games down. I don't want to play any Assassin's Creed game. I've played almost all of them. I've done two Clueless Gamers, and I've just lived and breathed Assassin's Creed.
Yeah. I have a suggestion then. Since there's so many games we haven't heard of, what if the three of us each pick a game just based on the title alone that jumps out to us?
Okay.
Not even knowing what it is. Like, there are so many Nights into Dreams, Joust, Firewatch, Lake, so many that I have personally heard of but not really explored or never even heard of. What if we each pick a game and then we take to Twitter to vote on which game?
Love that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Love that idea.
I like that.
All right. So, Sanya, you want to go first to pick a game?
And why you chose that? Why did it jump out to you?
Gosh. Okay. You know what? I'm going to pick Firewatch, because it's a game that I've heard a lot about and I've seen and I've heard it's incredible, but I've not played it. So I personally would be really, really excited to play it, because I've only heard really good things.
Okay.
So that's my vote. That's my vote.
I dig it. I support it.
Love it. Love it.
What do you guys think?
I'm going to pick Graveyard Keeper. Because I kind of feel like in my life, I'm a graveyard keeper.
Spiritually.
But like of jokes.
Sure.
You know, like comedically. Like, I pitch a lot of stuff and I make a lot of jokes, and then I just have to bury them.
The Grim Reaper of humor. Is that what you're trying to say?
Or should we say the Grin Reaper?
Very good.
Maybe I belong in a graveyard, apparently, after that joke. So I'm going to say Graveyard Keeper, because I've never heard of it. I don't know anything about it. But I feel like I have a kinship to it. Jen, what's the game you're going to pick?
I'm going to pick Lake. Because I like lakes.
Just
I don't know.
I like lamp. Yeah.
I like lamp. I like lakes. And I'm outside. I'm in nature. Don't even know if this is a nature game, yeah, but but we'll
it's
see.
It's a horror game.
That's if it's a horror game, I am out.
It's an Assassin's Creed DLC. Yeah.
Assassin's Creed, Great Lakes.
Just lake.
So that's going to be my choice. We'll Great. See.
All right. Well, there are your three choices. Firewatch, Graveyard Keeper, and Lake. So we will put a poll on the Soch, and you guys can vote about what game you're going to play with us. And I'm pumped. I think this is going to be great. Again, mm-hmm. I think if anything, BioShock Infinite might have been a little too long for us. it was a very long game.
It was a great ride.
It was a commitment.
It's amazing.
But it was a commitment.
It was a commitment. And I'm excited to kind of play a smaller game, but maybe dig down a little bit deeper.
I mean, who knows? Lake could be 40 hours. We don't know.
I was going to say, Watch Lake is like a 200-hour campaign. With
It's Bethesda presents Lake, an open water adventure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what people pick. And yeah. I'm excited to play some games along with our awesome folks.
So go to our Good Game Nice Try Twitter. The handle is, if you haven't guessed, at Good Game Nice Try, and vote on which game we should do for Game Book Club. And that's going to do it for this week. Oh my God. What an epic episode. Or an epic-sode. I'm the graveyard keeper of jokes. Be sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Give us that 5-star review and write a little review for us because I like reading your kind words.
Aw.
Of course, follow us at Good Game Nice Try on Twitter. And that's it. We'll see you next week.
Good Game Nice Try is produced by Jen Samples and Nick Liao. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton, with engineering and sound design by Chester Guasta. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. And special thanks to Lisa Berm. Music by John Danick.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.